congregations, like people, have natural life cycles. And when they forget this, by presuming their church will last forever, it doesn't turn out well. People are unfairly burdened, precious resources are wasted, and opportunities for celebration and recognition of faithful ministry are missed. In this episode, titled The Four Paths, Helpful Language for Congregations Considering Legacy, Legacy Church Specialist Charlie Kutchebrod shares from his depth experience with congregations facing the likely end of their historic way of doing church, and how the language they use to understand their current reality shapes the options they see, or don't see, for what's next. It's an episode for interim ministers and other leaders of transitional ministry to return to again and again for valuable guidance in serving churches in this emotionally charged stage of their life cycle. For a transcript of this episode, please visit the coachingforinterims.com website. In addition, subscribe to this podcast series if you want to be notified when additional podcasts are available. Welcome to Coaching for Interims. We are about empowerment for interim ministry, best practices, and quick help, wisdom from the field. This is our collaborative Wisdom from the Field project, featuring short interviews with transitional interim ministers and others with practical help and wisdom to offer those engaged in transitional ministry. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Wisdom from the Field. I am your host, Reverend Jim Latimer, and today we have the pleasure of having Charlie Kutchebrod with us. Charlie is a church legacy specialist. He serves as a resource to all United Church of Christ churches that are transitioning to the legacy stage of their life cycle. Prior to this, he served various roles with the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ in stewardship, investment management aspects, and did that for many years. And before that, he had lots of practical business experience in the corporate world. So Charlie is savvy around practical business aspects of organizations in general and congregations in particular, and is able to guide them in ways of faithful resource management. And for someone with an MBA rather than an MDiv, I am impressed by his well-thought-out theology that undergirds his ideas and consulting. This helps faithful people find the living God in this confusing and sometimes painful legacy process, and helps them lean into the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So, Charlie, you talked about the four paths, you know, language for congregations and pastors and lay leaders to talk about what you call the road ahead in the legacy process. So if you could speak to that, that'd be very helpful.
Thank you, Jim. I think of four paths as being open to churches that have been facing steady decline over a long period of time, measured by the traditional metrics of membership, worship attendance, and financial support. So if you're in that situation, which is not unusual, I see that there are four options for churches to consider. And it helps discernment to have clarity about both your objectives and what your options are so that you can make wise decisions. The four paths that I see are revitalization, transformation, legacy building and ministry completion. That's one option. Yep. And road closed ahead.
I love that one, road closed ahead.
And let me say a few brief words about each one and what I mean. By revitalization, I mean reestablishing, rebuilding those traditional metrics, membership, worship attendance, and financial support so that the church continues to be viable on an ongoing basis. So it's kind of a return to the strengths that the church had in the past. Transformation is reevaluating how you do church and doing church differently. It's letting go of the traditional metrics for success and finding alternative ways to be viable. So to borrow from Ronald Heifetz's Leadership Without Easy Answers, revitalization is a technical process where you use known tools to solve a problem that's well understood. Transformation is adaptive. It requires learning. It's an exploration There aren't easy and obvious solutions. Then there is legacy building and ministry completion, which is recognizing that the church is coming to the end of its ministry and looking how to do that process faithfully and well. And then there's the road closed ahead, which is an option I didn't wish exists. One of my colleagues has called this prayerful denial. It's not stepping up and trying to deal with the realities of the continuing decline and what that might mean. So for an interim pastor working with a congregation, to be able to lay out these options and help churches focus on which options are most likely to be fruitful for them is an important part of what they can bring and contribute to the congregation. Now, in most cases, revitalization is a mirage because of the changes in the world, broad social, cultural, economic, and even political trends at work. These are the forces driving decline in church participation and other organizations that depend on volunteers for leadership. So the decline that many churches are experiencing is not internally driven. It's not because we have forgotten to do church. It's because the world has changed and the way we do church is no longer attractive to people. It's very difficult to revitalize a church, especially if you're not in an area of favorable demographics, that is new growth in your community, and you don't have truly extraordinary leadership. It's very difficult to pull off. And if you're a mostly white church in a rural or suburban area, that's a very tough road to pursue. And so churches need to be honest, and interims need to be honest and forthright in the churches that they're working with.
Let me pause you there, Charlie, a moment. With that term revitalization, I remember a number of years ago when I was called into, but it was really my first interim time, and that was set up as a, you know, revital. This was in 2008, 2009, when revitalization was, everybody was using that term, and it was using just, it meant, in their minds, it meant coincident with just, we would return to, everybody would come back with the easy metrics, easy to measure things, right? Worship attendance, money, and stuff like that. And it took us a while to figure out that that's really hard to do.
And honestly, we don't have many successful examples that we can point to. This is something that can part of the education process for churches. The other branch to try to trim off quickly is the road closed ahead. Denying that there's an issue and perpetually kind of recycling through the same set of options without gaining any traction on anything is simply setting up a situation where fewer and fewer people are dealing with the challenges of the church and eventually becomes an unfair burden on those people. And it avoids or eliminates the possibility of experiencing the blessings and benefits of the other options. So to me, this is a process of shaping and narrowing down options and focusing on transformation and legacy building and ministry completion and discerning which is right for that congregation. A lot will depend on the energy and commitment of the members because transformation is hard work. It requires open-mindedness. It requires courage. It requires the ability to relinquish and let go of things that we have really valued about the church in the past in order to move forward in a new way.
It literally means change, to change shape, right? That's what that means. You're changing shape, and that's really hard to do. Not impossible, but hard.
So an example of a transformative approach might be selling the building and property of the church and becoming a congregation without a building, and reimagining how you would meet and how you would interact with the community if you no longer had that building as the center of your identity. And that's really quite important to some congregations. That's very difficult to let go of, but that's an example of a transformative approach, a radically different way of being church. And then if honestly, if there isn't the energy, enthusiasm, capacity, skills for transformation, it is not a failure to focus on completing a ministry faithfully and well. And that means taking care of the members through the process. It means building a legacy. It means thinking about how the church as a congregation fits into the wider body of Christ, and how by redeploying its assets, its people, its property, its other financial assets in the church world, that they can continue to be aligned with God's purposes, even though they have ended their ministry together and are now moving ahead in different ways.
Yeah, I really appreciate your care in language there, right? It's completion, right? It's not that which as you're describing this, it's not failure. It's faithfulness. It's a completion of this shape or this format or model or way of doing ministry, right? It's.
So an analogy I sometimes use is focusing on legacy building and ministry completion is deciding that it is time to get the ship safely into harbor so that the people and cargo can get off safely, the ship can be decommissioned, and all of the resources can be repurposed for use in different ways. So our members survive to move forward, our cargo, all that we have in our church is saved, and the ship itself is decommissioned, but still has value in some way. And it can be a very positive journey and something that can be celebrated. We accomplished a lot in the history of our ministry, and our concluding act was to safely, faithfully conclude the ministry in a way that supports God's work in the world.
That's beautiful. And the ship metaphor, I appreciate you using that. I mean, that's a time-honored metaphor of Christians, you know, for practically the entire 2,000 years, the church as a ship. That's beautiful. So you offer these four paths, right, of revitalization, transformation, legacy building, and ministry completion, and road closed ahead. But really only two of those, in your view, are really, what's the word, transformation, right? And then legacy building and completion. You're suggesting that revitalization is harder if it's to kind of go back to how things were and get more people and more money and all that. That's really hard to do in a context that has radically changed, right? That's not impossible, but it's really hard. And of course, road closed ahead is really not an option. It just seems like one. It's a mirage. I think you had described it's not really an option, which you don't find out until you hit a brick wall, and then it's the movie stops.
That's a good summary, Jim.
Thank you, Charlie, for this. This has been very helpful. Thank you. If you have found this episode to be helpful, we would love for you to share it with a friend or leave a comment on social media. For more information about Coaching for Interims, check out coachingforinterims.com. There you will find our growing library of these short Wisdom from the Field episodes, featuring practical guidance on the great variety of challenges related to effective transitional ministry, all of which are available at no cost for your listening or reading. Coaching for Interims, Empowerment for Interim Ministry, Best Practices and Quick Help, Wisdom from the Field.